Turn back to Psalm 123. Psalm 123. The title of the message, The Eyes of Prayer. Subject is Pilgrim lifts up his eyes again unto the Lord. He lifts it up for mercy and for help. You know, if you notice this, in Psalm 120, these songs, psalms, they're songs of degrees. In Psalm 120, 121, 122, 123, have all started out first very personal. My distress. I lift up my eyes. You know, they've all started out very personal. And that's because our relationship with the Lord is very personal. It's very personal. Just as our Lord's relationship with his Father is very personal. He said, I and my Father are one. We are one. Now, I know there's a lot said today about accepting Christ as one's personal Savior. I know that. But to the true believer, our relationship is very personal. It really is. And I'm not going to ignore that or push that aside because of the way it's used today. My relationship with Christ is a very personal relationship. It's like that of a husband and a wife. That's what we're taught in the scriptures. It's like that of a head and a body. It's like that of the vine and the branches. You see, our relationship is very real and it's very personal. He is my Lord and my God. He's my master. I have a master. I'm a servant. I've been bought with a price. I realize that now more than I've ever realized it since I have believed. I'm his. There's not a reason for me to even breathe except for Jesus Christ. I don't have a reason to exist. And I realize that. I told that to someone the other day that called me. I said, we don't have a reason to breathe or exist except for him. And I'm glad of it. I'm glad of it. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Redeemer. As I said, I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. He's my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, and he's my redemption. In the Word of God, he is said to be our all, in every way, every shape, every form. Christ is my all in all. And we have a real personal relationship with the Lord. Not when we get there right now. If it's not now, it's not going to be later. It's now. Now, it's evident in this psalm that Pilgrim, whoever wrote this, I believe David wrote it. But David, I tell you what, David was a king, yes. But David also was a pilgrim, just like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you and me. He was a pilgrim. And he knew it. He knew his time was on this earth was short and he was just traveling through. But here it's evident that Pilgrim is looking to the Lord for mercy. It's evident he is now, you see, he left in Psalm 120 in distress on his journey to Jerusalem, and now he stands within the house, and now he looks unto the Lord. He's lifting up his eyes to the Lord, and he's looking to the Lord for mercy. We see the spiritual ups and downs of Pilgrim as he journeys through life. We see that. And such is our journey to heaven. We're journeying also, you know that. We're on a journey. It's a journey. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And on this journey, we have our spiritual ups and downs. You see, last week, Pilgrim said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This week he's in distress again. Such is this life. Such is the journey on our way home. On our way home. We have days when we are glad to go to the house of God. Glad to be there. And then we have spiritual days when we're down and we have to drag ourselves to worship. That's just so. That's so. I wish I could come here happy, happy. I wish I could come here full of zest and ready to worship. But it's not always like that. I know what you go through. I go through the same thing. Same thing. We have days when sin oppresses us more than others. We have days when the world and Satan molest us. And when we have these times, we have a place to go and cast all our cares on the Lord, a throne of grace. Now that I have believed, and now that you have believed, you look at the world and you wonder how in the world they make it. You think, it's no wonder the psychiatric doctors are full. It's no wonder. Without hope, without God, there's no foundation. If you don't have a foundation, a real foundation to build on, which is Jesus Christ, you're just on sinking sand. And you need something to numb the feelings so that you don't realize you're on sinking sand. That's so. But here, we have a place to go. We know it as a throne of grace. When God has given it to us, and our Lord resides on that throne. And there he dispenses. Grace, abounding grace, is called in Romans. Where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. God's grace is superabounding. This place we go to is out of this world. It's out of this world. Our Lord is in heaven. Now, he's in the church. He's in you. But his special reside is in heaven also. In that holy of holies. And in our hearts, in our minds, when we bow to pray, when we call upon him, we leave this world, don't we? We leave this world. We go to him. And we've been given eyes of faith that we may look up. Look up in faith. The scripture, look up for your redemption draws nigh. The believer should always be looking up to him, looking up to the Lord. Believing he will hear us and help us in looking up when we look up to him. Now, if you'll notice the shortness of this prayer, it's only four verses. Prayer does not have to be long to be heard, just sincere. That's all it needs. Sometimes it can only be a groan. Sometimes it's just a groan. There have been times that the only thing I could do was groan. And I'm sure if you've lived long enough, you know that. If you live long enough in the faith, you know that. You can't put it into words. But the Spirit of God can. He can. Words we can't find, he does. Now, verse 1, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. I woke up this morning thinking of this verse, and I thought, our bodies, our physical bodies, they are a wonder of God's creation. What a wonder our bodies are. A wonder of God's creation. And I looked at my body in the mirror, and I thought this, everything about this body has a pair. It's like a mirror image of itself. Right hand, left hand. Right eye, left eye. Right ear, left ear. It's just like the body, it's made in such a way that it helps itself. The body is one. It has many members, but it's one body. That's what it is. It's one body. It's a type of the body of Christ. It just dawned on me this morning so strongly that the reason God made our body like he made it, there's one reason why God made the body. You know, God is God. He could have made it in many different ways, couldn't he? As far as that goes. But you know why he made it just like he made it? Because it represents the body of Christ. When you look into the mirror, if God has given you spiritual wisdom and understanding, you can look into the mirror and you can see how the body of Christ works. It works in union. It works as the head works. You see, my head directs my body. Christ directs the church, his body. And the body is in union. It helps itself. We help one another. I thought about when we pray, you know, when you pray and you're by yourself, and I do this when I'm by myself. I don't put my hands together like this, but I interlock my fingers almost all the time. I never noticed it. Never noticed it until today when I thought about it. But I interlock my fingers like this most of the time, and I'm like, my thumbs are on my head. And I thought, it's my body coming together. It's showing the unity of the body, of my body, when my hands come together and interlock. And the body of Christ is so united that she's one. She's one. She just works together, not against each other. My body doesn't work against each other. It doesn't. My right hand, left hand, they just do what my head tells them to do. Pick something up. It's amazing to me. Now those that may sound simple to you. You may think you get on with it. But that means, I mean, that is that I see a lot. I see a lot in it spiritually. I do. I see a lot in it when I look at it. And that's the reason God made the body just like he made it, because it's an image of the body of Christ. Just like marriage. Why did God make Adam a woman and tell him to produce children and have a family? And it represents Christ in the church. Why did God give us a sun that gives us light on the earth? Why? It represents Christ, the Son of Righteousness, who's the light of the world. He said, I'm the light of the world, not the sun, not that S-U-N. The S-O-N is really the light of the world. We have all these examples in creation. All of creation speaks of spiritual truth. They're just types and examples. Our Lord used it all the time, the sower. I mean, you just go through and he used it all the time. Listen to this. And our Lord prays for the oneness of his body to be like that of the oneness of him and the Father. John 17:11, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are, one body, one unity. In verse 22, in the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I would to God that you and I could really understand this oneness that our Lord is speaking of. It's far more than what we can comprehend, this oneness. Just like he said about marriage, he said, two come together, they are what? One. Two shall be one. You know, after Dad passed away, you know, Mom's had such a hard time with it. I said, and I told her, I said, Mom, you know, the Lord said that when two are married, when they're married, they become one flesh. I said, you just got cut in half. And that's why it hurts so much. Because you all really became one. You did. They did. They became one. And I said, that's the oneness we have. That's a real union we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are really one with him in spirit. And then here, the lifting up of the eyes, he said, I lift up my eyes. It's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. You know, our Lord did this oftentimes. He lifted up his eyes, but he knew that the Father heard him. He said, I know you always hear me. He always believed. He always believed God. He always believed his Father. He always did. He had perfect faith. He always believed perfectly. And that's our righteousness. But now listen, he looks in faith. He looks to the Lord believing he will hear his prayer. Why would we even pray if we think, well, he won't hear me? We are to pray believing he will hear our prayer. All things are possible to him that believes. All things. And then he looks here, Pilgrim looks with confidence. He looks with confidence. The scripture said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is God. He is who he says he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We look believing, we look in confidence, and then he looks with hope and expectation. He looks with hope and expectation, knowing that the Lord will be merciful, knowing that the Lord will answer his prayers. I wasn't as confident of that as a young believer as I am now. I'm confident the Lord will answer. He will answer in his way, in his time. He'll answer. You know, it says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart. You see, this prayer right here from Pilgrim is from a broken heart. And save us such as be of a contrite spirit. God doesn't despise that. He looks to that. And then here he identifies the one he's looking to. O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Now, if you don't pray to the one who dwells in the heavens, if you don't pray to the right one, well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If you pray to one who has hands but can't help you, he has a mouth but he can't speak, a nose that can't spell, you're in trouble. You and I are in trouble. But we don't pray to that. We don't pray to that. O thou that dwellest in the heavens, not on a shelf somewhere, not on a shelf somewhere, not hanging on a cross like the Catholics have hanging on a cross. They have Mary up there on the same level as the Lord. No, we pray to he who dwells in the heavens. Psalm 115, listen to this, verse 2 and 3. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He's sovereign. Our God is sovereign. And he's in the heavens. That's where he is. O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Many were looking to heaven this week, but not one looked to the one who dwells in heaven. Everybody, I mean, all over the world, they were all looking up at the sun, and some of them were crying, and not one of them. I didn't hear one of them speak of God. I didn't hear one of them give God the glory. You know, my first thought when I saw that, I thought, everybody has to recognize we have nothing to do with that. That's in the heavens. We have nothing to do with that. That's of God. That's of God. I did hear two talk about Mother Nature. I heard two of them say that. I mean, that's pathetic. But our God is in the heavens, though God is omnipresent at all times and all places. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? There's nowhere you can flee from his presence. Yet he resides in heaven. He resides in heaven. Wherever that is, whatever that's like, wherever God is, that's heaven. Wherever our Lord is, wherever he sits at God's right hand, that's heaven. It's not this earth. It's not this. It's opposite of this earth. Opposite. And listen, we never look down on God. I lift my eyes to thee. the Lord lifted his, if anyone looks down on God, they got the wrong God. We lift up our eyes to thee. It don't matter. You know, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he was lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes to the Lord. You'd be upside down and lift your eyes up to the Lord. We're always lifting them up because God is up. He's not down. He's not down. This shows one's attitude and their thoughts of God is how they look at him. And then this prayer is one of dependence. Verse 2, behold. Now this caught my attention today because Pilgrim here is, you know, usually when we read behold, he's speaking to the people. When our Lord said behold, he's speaking to the people. But here he's asking God. He's asking God to behold his prayer, to behold the sincerity of his heart when he's saying, behold, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters. The hand of their masters. And I didn't really catch that part of it until I read it here to you. The hand of the master. Our Lord reached over and touched that leper with his hand. Many he touched with his hand. They looked to the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. What the eye acknowledges, what the eye pilgrim acknowledges. First of all, I am thy servant. Can I say it like this? I am thy slave. Bond slave. I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. A willing bond slave. He made me willing, but I am a willing bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, this is true. This is true. Every person on this earth is a slave to someone. Some are slaves to drugs, some to alcohol, some to this, some to that. All are a slave who are not born of God. All are a slave to Satan. They do his bidding, whether they know it or not. They are children of darkness. They're all slaves, his slaves. But listen, I am thy servant. There is real humility in the look of a servant to the master's hand. It's a look of a real humility, not fake, real. It's not a proud look. It's not a proud look. It's a look of humility. It's a look of need. It's a look of hope when he looks to his master's hand. Because everything is in his master's hand. How's that song go? He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got me and you, brother. Parts of that song come to my mind. I don't know how the whole song goes, but I don't remember that part of it. Everything is in the master's hand. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein. They're in his hand. So everything I need is in the master's hand. My master's hand. Not a master, my master. Everything's in his hand. Volumes are spoken in a look. You know that? You can tell when somebody looks at you if they like you or if they don't like you. In a look. I could tell when my dad looked at me if I was in trouble or if everything was all right. Just by the way he looked at me. Just the way he looked. Volumes are spoken in a look. When Peter denied the Lord three times, what? Did the Lord chide him? Our Lord just looked at him. And he went out. And he wept bitterly. There was so much said in that look. And it wasn't a flaming eye look. It wasn't a look of disgust. It was a look of pity. It was a look of love. He just looked over at Peter. And Peter remembered what he said. And it just crushed him. And the Lord didn't have to say a word. Didn't have to say a word. Volumes are spoken in a look. Get this picture in your mind. A slave looking to his master, or a maid looking to her mistress for everything they need. They belong to them. That's so. That's what they're talking about here. And I thought about this. The eyes speak when the heart is too full to utter words. They're too full sometimes to utter words, but just a look. Just a look. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God, and there's none else. Just a look. When Moses took that serpent on a pole and walked through the camp, all he said was look. That's all he said was look. And those who looked, lived. Look and live. We sing that song, look and live. But what are they looking for? What's Pilgrim looking for? Well, in short, everything. Everything. Have you realized that everything you need is God-given? Have you realized that? Just the very breath you have. I've watched people at the end of life. I've watched some at the end of life struggle to breathe. Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. You can't even rebel without me. Isn't he the one who took those soldiers who fell backwards when he made himself known? He said, you know, it's me, it's I. And they fell backwards. Did he help them get up off the ground? It's like, get up off the ground and finish this. You can't do anything without me. You can't even rebel without me. Letting you do it. God has to let you do it in order for you to do it. The wrath of man shall praise him, and the rest he'll what? Restrain. The rest he'll restrain. But listen, everything I need, my Lord and Master will provide. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Master we are speaking here of is meek and lowly in heart. Easy to entreat. That's what that means. Easy to entreat. He delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. And then this look is for direction. He looks to his master's hand for direction. You know, I read where it was not polite when there was company. It was not polite for a master to tell his slaves what to do in front of the guest. So what he would do was make gestures. There's a lot said in that. There's a lot said in gestures. And he'd just take his hands. Could his servant just point? They looked to the hand of the master. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? We look for direction. And then we look for food and clothing. Don't we? Give us, Lord, our daily bread. You know, daily bread includes everything you need. It doesn't matter if it's food or raiment. It's everything you need. It's what it is. And then we look to our master for medical needs. I thought about this today. You know, the slave, Pilgrim, here, has to look to him for his medical needs. We look to the great physician of our souls, as Pilgrim does. We look for spiritual healing. But you know what? We look to him also for physical healing. Whether he does it, just heals us, or whether he uses medicine. It's God who makes the medicine effectual. He makes it effectual. He's the one who gave it. He's the one who gave us all the plants and all that we have that we make medicine with. It's His. We look to Him for everything. Everything. Direction, clothing, food, medical attention. Lord, heal my soul. Heal my soul. But most of all, and this is the most important, we look to Him for mercy. Because we don't deserve anything we're asking for. We don't deserve any of it. You know, I don't think we probably ever lived in a time where people think they deserve everything. And I'm trying to be careful saying this because I owned a company for 25 years. And it got to the place where it was like I was supposed to pay them for showing up, then pay them extra if I did anything. I'm not making that up. That's so. This generation of people, it's just amazing. It's just, you owe it to us. No, we don't owe you. God doesn't owe us anything but the wages of sin. And that's death. Lord, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. And then when we ask, we know we don't deserve what we're asking for. We don't deserve mercy. We haven't done anything in here since we've been here to deserve mercy. Or it wouldn't be mercy, would it? It wouldn't be mercy. And then Pilgrim looks to the Master here. We look to the Master because we're pilgrims too. We look for Him to come and call us out of the field to come home. The Master call. You see, was it Martha who said to Mary, "The Master has come and calleth for thee"? And there'll be a time for every believer here, for everyone in this world, but for every believer, the Master will come and call for you to leave, to come home. That's home. This is not. He'll come and call us home. And we look for that, don't we? We look to Him for these things. You ought to see my dog. The way he looks at me when I walk in the house, it is hilarious. Sometimes annoyingly hilarious, but it's hilarious. He will be on that couch, and I mean, he perked up, and I can walk, as soon as I walk in the house, his ears are up, he's looking at me, and he watches me. If I walk to the bedroom, he beats me to the bed and gets on the bed, because he knows I'm going to sit in a rocking chair, and he puts his head over on my rocking chair, and I got to pet him. And as soon as I walk toward the laundry room, I mean, it's like a bullet. He's right in the laundry room waiting for me to go out the door. I mean, he watches me like it's unbelievable. And that's just a dog looking to his master. How much more ought we look to our Christ? How much more should we be in tune to our Lord? A whole lot more than a dog is to me. But now here, how does Pilgrim endure this? How does he endure? How are we going to endure to the end? How are we going to do this? Well, the same way all of God's saints endure. Hebrews 11:27. By faith, he, that is Moses, forsook Egypt, the world, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Faith sees Christ. It doesn't see a bodily image, but faith sees Him. He's real to you. He's real to you. He's not real to everybody. He's a historical figure to most everybody, except those who believe. He's not a historical figure. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my life. He's my all in all. That's who He is. So we look to Him. And we look to Him in faith. And it's a patient look. We look to Him with patience. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. We ask for it, now wait for it. You ask for it, now wait for it. We wait for mercy because we need it, and we wait for it because he has plenty of it. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Anybody need forgiving? You really need forgiving of your sins. Not talking about trying to miss a place called hell. I'm talking about being really forgiven of your sins. He's ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. All of them. All that call upon thee. Now, Pilgrim, here in verse 3, Pilgrim prays, his prayer broadens to his companions. See, it started out with himself, but now he prays for his companions because they need mercy. You need mercy just like I do. Have mercy upon us. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. We are exceedingly filled with contempt. You know, oftentimes our prayer starts with ourselves, but it ends with our brothers and sisters praying for them. It does. And the plea here is for mercy because of the world they live in. Remember, he said he was back over here in 120. Let me find it. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech and I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Kedar? That's what made him miserable. Well, he's still in the world. Even though he may be in Jerusalem, he may be standing in the house of God. But we're still in this world, aren't we? God's house is gathered here this evening. But we got to go out. We got to go back out here just a little bit. And he prays here for mercy. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. This is a reason for Pilgrim's prayer. You see, prayer has a purpose. It's not babbling, it's prayer. You know, the meaning of contempt here in Hebrew is this. Well, I'll tell you something else here in a minute. But here's the meaning of contempt. The feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration. It's worthless or deserving of scorn. He's saying, that's the way I'm treated. That's the way I'm treated. Now, the Hebrew meaning for exceedingly, that's what I was looking at. I was getting ahead of myself. But he said exceedingly. You see in verse 4, our soul is exceedingly. That word means saturated in Hebrew. It's saturated with it. It's just completely full. Running over with the contempt of the proud. God's people are really hated by this world. They really are. Especially the religious world. And they feel it. Brethren, we feel it. I don't like being hated. I don't go around hoping people hate me. We feel it. Our Lord felt it. He felt the contempt of this world. And he's saying here that whatever that situation was, what he was going through, and we go through this at different times, but whatever it was, he was being ridiculed. He was being ridiculed. And here, listen to who was ridiculing him. Our soul is exceedingly filled. It's saturated with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. The religious bullies, I call them. The religious bullies that are at ease and are troubling those who are in trouble. Trials. The first thing I thought of was Job's friends. They were at ease. Their life was just fine. Everything was going just fine. Job was being tried hard, tried to the core, and they were adding to it. He said, you are miserable. Comfort your physicians of no value. And the reason they were doing that is because they were at ease. They were at ease. Amos 6:1 says this, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. I think of the Pharisees. they were at ease, and they just tormented and aggravated the Lord constantly, scorned him constantly, and the apostles. And you look at the early church. And woe to be a Zion when she's at ease, because I tell you, when Zion is at ease, she falls asleep. Listen to this. The church of Sardis, and I'm going to close. Christ said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Most of you are dead, he said. There's a little bit of life here. It's still in that church. There's a little bit of life. But most of you are dead. You're at ease. What did he write to the church of Thessalonica? I mean, not Thessalonica, but the Laodicea. Rich, increased with goods, in need of nothing. And that's exactly the way every human being wants to be. I was talking to someone today, and they was talking about a family member. I mean, this is what she wants. Rich, increased with good, in need of nothing. That is the worst way to be. Because you don't need Christ. When you don't need nothing, you don't need Christ. In that church, he said, you are rich, increased with good, in need of nothing. But you don't realize you're blind, miserable, and naked. Now, because of their ease of life and conscience, they scorn the children of God who are careful in their walk and their talk. And they scorn them. They ridicule them. I tell you what, you want to be ridiculed. If you really want to know what ridicule is, just stand up for the truth. That's all you need to do. Just tell the truth when the opportunity's there, and you'll find out who's your friend and who's not your friend. And you'll find out what the world really is, the religious world and the rest of this world. You'll find out they don't really like you. They don't really like you. Lord, I lift up my eyes to you. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on us as we travel through this ungodly world. All right.